Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From the summit of Mount McKinley. No, I'm kidding. From Santa Anita, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, and we got to maybe, you know, Casey, maybe we've got to re-record the opening because it's At the Races with Steve Bick and Rick Hammerly. Good morning, Hammer.
Good morning, Steve. And, you know, they had a NASCAR event here.
Fontana,
which is about 20 miles west, due west here on the road. But I did 37 miles in 32 minutes this morning getting here.
Ooh.
So it was pretty cool. And it wasn't just me.
Wow.
I mean, there was the whole NASCAR team was on the freeway this morning. I'm telling you, it's nice. When you get on the road here in the freeways at 5 or 5-ish, it's still crowded, but those are the serious drivers, so there's no messing around. Everyone is just flying, so it's a pleasure to drive on the California freeways at 5 in the morning.
It did occur to me, actually, as we landed yesterday, came in Little Rock to Dallas, Dallas to LAX, and it occurred to me because of the weather scenario, and as you tweeted on Saturday, this was a weekend that the meteorologists got correct from every vantage point, from the snow, and you seemed completely astounded by the breadth of your life growing up around Chatsworth and saying it never had snowed that close to you before.
No, and I'm like I said, 37 miles due west of here, along these same mountaintops, but they're more like mounds, you know, and hills. They're not mountains like we're looking at it over here, the San Gabriels. And when I pulled out of the driveway yesterday and was driving up the street, I looked up and there was those snow-capped mountains. It was incredible. I called Gina. I said, get out here and take a look, because I guess by noon they had, you know, melted a little bit. It was just a thin dusting, but I'll tell you, it was pretty wild. And you know, when I was in Tulsa earlier in the week, and the headline was, you know, blizzards in Southern California coming this weekend. You know, it's always the end of the world. But it was actually kind of cool. Everyone handled it well, and you know, didn't really bother the roads except for the, you know, the major arteries in and out of town going up north, which is normal. The Grapevine and the El Cajon Pass probably over that way, but you know, everybody handled it well and, you know, enjoyed it.
You could tell, and in fact, as we were about, I don't know, 15 minutes to landing at LAX, it seemed like the pilot had dropped down quite a bit, and whatever those mountains are directly, I guess that was west, we were probably, I don't know actually if we were coming swooping from the north or if we were coming directly west, but 15 minutes in the air, there was snow, I mean, snow-covered peaks. I mean, just buried in snow.
That's a local resort here, Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear, which is about 2.5 hours from here. That's the local ski. There's Mountain High, which is right down the street. But Big Bear is like the best local mountain resort. In fact, as growing up, we had
Big Bear is a considerable, yeah. I mean,
we had a cabin up there when I was a kid. For, you know, we go up there all the time.
Nice.
In the snow, and you know, that's where I learned how to ski, and actually I learned how to play golf. But that was close, and that was just, you know, just a whiteout up there. I mean,
yeah.
they got you know, 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah.
So you know, hey. It does snow here. It just we've missed it, and it's for in the time that we're in with the drought. You know, we had the early run in late December and January, which we had last year too, but that was it. We didn't have anything more. And so now this follow-up is, you know, all those, they just hate to say it, that the drought is, it's over. Oh, you know, they hate to say that because they can't talk about it. This, you know, disaster again.
Weather Channel nightmare.
Oh, it's a Weather Channel nightmare. But they you've seen an overview of the way these a lot of these lakes and reservoirs have looked over the past few years. It's like, oh, my gosh, they're up, and the snowpack's just huge, so...
Oh, I don't know if I didn't send it to you, but did you see that tweet of the LA River?
Yeah, well, yeah, the LA River, the concrete river.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's always.
I've never seen that.
Oh yeah, that's. I mean, growing
never
up,
never seen that.
You know, this happens once in a while, and it does rain out here. You know, this time of year, and we do get that LA River, and if you have the old. You always got to have the helicopter rescue of some idiot that tried to, you know, inner tube down the river. But then that's just normal too, and they always seem to get them. But yeah, no, that flows, you know, freely for about 5 days a year. You know, when it rains. So it's wintertime, and it's actually cool sitting out here, looking up at the snow-capped mountains. And it's, you know, it's not a lot; it's a dusting. But it's, I mean, these mountains, they go on for like 30 miles that way, and it's snow all the way, which is rare.
Well, the Jay Hovde, who is the official greeter for the industry, to anybody that comes to California, and he welcomed me and showed a shot of the weather of the 41 degrees. And for him, down now, it just occurs to me, if it I didn't look and see if it was Los Angeles or if it was down by San Diego. But... it was colder. I told you when you got here this morning. It was colder when I was here in December. It was much more uncomfortable here those 3 days. It was, I mean, it was not just cold.
It was Oakland cold.
It was, well, Oakland cold. I mean, we'll get to that next. That was as difficult a 36 to 48 hours, starting with that, with the 3 inches of rain that was supposed to be a quarter of an inch. And I tell you what. Well done to the track super and his team, because first of all, they had a washout in the corner where it drops off to the hill, and they repaired that for Friday, no problems, and the rain kept coming, and that track, it was remarkable how fair the track was, because obviously you saw horses come from the clouds, including Wet Paint, who was the greatest hunch play in the history of a racetrack, considering how much wet paint was on the walls around Oaklawn.
I could tell by the TV on the red paint. They wanted to take the wet theme. I think condensation was second.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
So there you go.
Condensation ran a whale of a game. I had a race. I had put condensation fourth, thinking, you know, might be able to hang on. That's exactly, started to get a little leg weary. In fact, I thought it was strange for those that were, for those that may have been backing the runner-up in there. I think everybody was, at least I was expecting there to be at least an inquiry or an objection. And I was shocked that Rosario didn't hit the outrider for an objection. Condensation was getting leg weary in the stretch and came out a path, two paths, and seemed to have obstructed Grand Love a little bit, who was rallying or staying on, at least had been chasing. And anyway, Wet Paint, I wouldn't have given you 10 cents on the backstretch. I mean, she had fallen not as far out of it as Red Root One did in the Rebel a half hour later. We'll talk about Keith DeSormo, who everybody's been warned. Last week I wrote, going into the Risen Star, if he's starting horses in these races, they're live, they're going to give a good accounting of himself. And that was a delirious scene with Confidence Game, who was just terrific. And Don't Tell Your Wife, Don't Tell My Wife Stables, they were going they must have had 70 people in the winner's circle.
They travel well, and you know, like you said, let's get this straight. Keith DeSormo is a super horseman. Time and time again, he gets these horses at the sales. He buys them in the back there, and, you know, maybe they don't want them or they're turnbacks or whatever. He picks them out for great prices. he does this time and time again. I mean, let's just think back to LeCompte last year with Call Me Midnight at 28-1.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And lo and behold, guess who was on him? James Graham.
James Graham.
And we've never seen James Graham bring in a long shot ever.
Well, and I mean, especially, he rode that he could not have ridden the confidence game better. And the same thing could be said about the Philly performance and the ride that was turned in by Flavien Prat on wet paint. I mean, the broken field, the crazy legs Hirsch act down the stretch. And, you know, it's funny because when Red Root won, later on, obviously, when Christian Torres had the same decision to make about either going outside or diving inside, he dove inside, and I thought, okay, Red Root 1's going to get, to Confidence Game, but Confidence Game stayed on, and Condensation got leg weary. But too exciting. The three-year-old races delivered on Saturday. The whole card was fun. The maiden races, all those six furlong races. You had a couple of big prices. Everybody made the most of it, despite the sloppy conditions.
Well, put it this way: sloppy conditions are not out of the norm there. So it's not
every
even
Saturday. Saturday.
Believe me, I know.
The craziest thing I've ever seen.
It is, and it goes on for 2 months at least. Sometimes two and a half, three. But doesn't deter the fans. Doesn't deter the horsemen. It's not like you start with a 12-horse field and you end up with six. They all run. Everybody knows the deal there. You enter to run, and it's racing wise, it's fantastic. It's great. Quick note: he's in San Diego. For it to go any lower in San Diego, it's just
40.
It's impossible. Doesn't happen. But Oakland Rebel Day has always been like the first start of the Super Day, and I think they had intended to open up the infield that day, which is normal. I'm guessing that it didn't happen. But Rebel Day kind of kicks off the season, which has elongated, which is the main reason I didn't go back was two and a half months into 5 months. Always a big day. I think they ran 12 races. They did a great handle, and they run on kind of the off week so they can get the riders to go because they know this week was a big week. Do a great job of scheduling there. A lot of things I miss about Oak Lawn Park, and then obviously the racing is one of them.
Well, they certainly seem to be in good position looking ahead toward Arkansas Derby Day and the sort of refashioned racing festival of the South. Should mention in the carousel, Rudy Brissett with Ugiri. That race kind of fell apart. About half the field came out, and so the prospect of there being any pace pressure for both Ugiri and the insanely hot Norm Cassie. Are you following Norm?
Like, what is it, like 50%?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And he won with Bat Masterson, $20 winner for Bat Masterson Grove in that maiden race. Earlier in the day.
Right? Yeah. So I think there were some actually in that carousel. I think there was a few shippers, out of town shippers, that maybe decided
wet track and who knows.
Yeah, maybe didn't get on the plane type of thing. And Ugiri was a typical horse for course. Had won the fantasy last year, I believe, there, and then going long, and then come back here. And I think, what do we say? He's going to head to the Grade One at Keeneland. Was that the Madison?
Madison. They were all excited, and they should be. I mean, you got a 91 buyer, but one off by a handful of lengths.
They had a maiden race going long earlier, but the fourth race of the day.
King Russell for Moquette, and an Airdrie, Brary Jones, and Neighbor Racing, a Creative Cause colt out of Believe You Will, and that was a race that actually on paper Seeking Unity McPeak, who won the stake at Turfway, won the Wintergreen on Saturday night. There's some Turfway conversation to be had too. You had the crazy
Pick five.
Friday night, $70 winner and a $50 winner in perfectly positioned to create a $200,000 pick five carryover. And it was a challenging sequence, and you got paid. If you got through that, you got paid. That was and it was fun. It wasn't, there wasn't a 50-to-1 shot that blew it apart. There was, you know, $13 horse, $19 horse. You know, there were a couple of just tricky horses to put a ticket together, and I think the number ended up being, I want to say, 42,000.
Well, on a Tuesday, you get paid if you win the, if you hit the pick five at Turfway.
Right now. I mean, it's,
someone put a Turfway pickup on the on Twitter. I forget. I don't know who it was. All six. Like, in other words,
well, that was a gag. I think that was a gag.
It was a gag, but I'm just saying. But in essence, it's not at that place. You do need to hit the all button at the right spot there for sure to have a chance.
And I'm going to forget who it is. And I should have bookmarked it to go back to. But a pretty well known player who I've seen had a fabulous $5 straight punch. Pick four, and hit for I think hit for 52,000.
God bless him.
2.5 times, and or not really 10 times at 50 cents. I got to go find that. Tremendous, and then explained his rationale for the four individual horses. One was a pedigree play. One was the other Wesley Ward. One was a drop down, just a logical drop down. And that was actually part of the approach to a couple of the races at Turfway in the pick five. There were some droppers, some 30 down to 7,500. I think that was that in the nightcap.
I don't
think so.
I don't forget. The
I
sequence.
Put it together. Well, I took
if,
a shot.
If,
I, I
if hit. You're picking four singles and you're hitting, it's your day. That's all.
But this is a very clever play. I mean, it's unbelievable. Listen, that you need one of those a year to just the magic, the just touched by God ticket, just where everything comes together.
Yes, that would be nice. That's fine. Confidence game reminded me. I got to say, when actually you were here that year when. Keith won the, I think it was the Santa Anita Derby in the slop. Remember?
Yes.
Exaggerator?
Yes.
We were here and boom.
Yes,
for some reason, it just reminded me of boom. You know, like I said, this isn't his first rodeo. He knows what to do with a good horse. So it'll be exciting to see, which, if he goes back to Oaklawn or takes the Louisiana Derby route or which way he goes. But that was a 50-pointer, right? So he's in.
Yes, that horse, that's in. And the boy, did you see the picture? I got a crazy picture where I basically was focused on James Graham coming toward the winner's circle. But in the foreground of the picture, Keith had been off to the right against the wall, and he started to cross over to go to the owners, and I got him in the foreground with a big smile, and Graham is right in the background. So I cropped it, and Keith's a little bit out of focus, but I thought it was a really fun picture. And James Graham's got this mammoth, a mammoth smile, and easy to be happy for him. And DeSormo did have the other single ruler. Right, last week in the Risen Star, who ended up fifth and ran, ran fine, got beat maybe five lengths for everything.
Yeah, you know, one thing I remembered about Keith when he's actually has some stalls here, but when he came out here 10 years ago when he started, you don't see him winning too many sprints. That's all I'm going to say. When he starts stretching his horses out, that's when you hit him. Most of his horses, his big wins are going long. And, catch that when the first time, they're going from short to long is a good time to hit him. But I like him. I like his attitude. He's a really kind of fun guy to be around.
Well, and Single Ruler was the Empire Maker, and it ended up, I ended up betting Single Ruler last week because his price was just nuts. He was 40-to-1. And actually had been 60-to-1 as they were heading to the gate, and then it took some logical money. In the meantime, Angel of Empire was 13-to-1, Sun Thunder 16-to-1, Two Fills 6-to-1, Tappet's Conquest 6-1 before Single Ruler at 42-1. You know, one thing we should talk about, and obviously we'll start to look ahead. It'll be hard not to really today, even today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, be looking ahead to Gulfstream and Santa Anita for Saturday with the Big Cap card, with the Fountain of Youth card. They both have been drawn now. The Gulfstream card was up on Saturday. Yesterday, Hammered downstairs, they put together the card for Saturday, which came out very good. The Kilroe as well, of course, the Buena Vista, the San Felipe drew 11. We'll probably touch on these, but part of the story and part of the follow-up to the Rebel on Saturday has to be Tim Yakteen, and Reincarnate kind of stood close by, and I've got that for you, a copy for you for Saturday. Reincarnate's performance right behind the winner and the runner-up of Confidence Game and Red Route 1. And Reincarnate ran very well, had plenty of trouble, and Johnny was very animated and excited telling Yakteen and Jack Wolf about the trip and about what he thinks Reincarnate learned by the experience. And all three of those horses coming out of the Rebel, they're all going to be fun to watch going forward. Red Route 1, I mean, dropped out of it like I you couldn't believe. When you have a wet track like that, too, I mean, when horses start getting smacked in the face with globs and with mud, you know, they turn their head, they break stride, they the field spread out. But he dropped way out of it before putting in his rally. And he's, like I said, after the Southwest, he's okay.
I think he might be a serious horse. I liked him going.
All three.
You know, we had the Holy Bull, we've had the Risen Star, we've had the Rebel, and we got the San Felipe coming up. And those races, they seem to be very similar to me in the fact that most of the horses in there have mostly just won one race, maybe two, you know, lightly raced stuff. Then you get to the Fountain of Youth, which there's a lot more accomplished horse. The first race it has, multiple winning type horses in there with Forte and Blazing Sevens in there, and it's got a little bit more depth, but it's interesting to see what's going on. It just seems to be the since Justify came around in 2018 and was shown that hey, you don't need to start a year before, you can just pick it up earlier this year, it seems to be the theme. How's the least amount of races I can run to get to the Derby? And that's fine because they do it that way. The fans don't get to see these horses run as often as these are the races that matter now. These 50-point and 100-point races as we're coming up, and these days, you know, coming up on Saturday, as a company, they've decided to group their same days together, and whether it's good or bad, it's you get to see a lot of action on Saturday.
It was very clever. And Pete Rotundo popped on the show when I was at Gulfstream actually, and I grabbed him, and somebody obviously was sitting and looking at the schedule, and they said, we've got this, and this. We got these weekends. And, we can coordinate everything, up to Preakness and call it, a tour and kind of tie everything together. They've got strong contest tie-ins for each of the big weekends. It made a lot of sense. I personally a huge fan and have urged and wanted to see expanded series tie-ins, including doing something with the Haskell Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, which is just, you got the three late season grade ones. how is there not, some sort of a packaged something? I suppose you know, I suppose that the Naira doesn't want to take the middle leg, and if it's thought of as a summer Triple Crown, whatever. But still, it's a natural opportunity to market and package things, and we need to be doing more of it. I mean, we don't, you know, Triple Tierra, Handicap Triple Crown. I mean, all of this stuff that, you know, that breeds continuity and interest, you know, tied, you know, week to week and month to month. You know, going back to, you were around for the championship series.
ARCI.
Barry. Barry Weisbord's, Brad was in short pants.
In fact, I don't know if I don't think he had pants.
He might
yet.
Not have been.
But, you know, interestingly enough, a couple of months ago, I put out a picture on Twitter that I found a picture of Black Tie Affair hanging on my thing in the refrigerator in the garage, and I said, "Wow, this is pretty cool." And that was, he had won the Island during that run, and I tell you, that was, we had the Farm Away, you had Criminal Type, you had Festin, you had, and these horses traveled around the country together in a group. And I remember talking to Barry not too long ago and wondering about, God, could we recreate this? Horses almost signed a contract that they would appear. They just don't participate as often as they do. It'd be great to run once a month. But no, this idea of packaging, you know, the same you know, company, Gulfstream in Santa Anita, just putting it a big show on one day and kind of taking over the Saturday. So it's 14 races there, 12 races here, and I think there's 9 stakes at Gulfstream, I believe, 4 here, and, you know, a lot of good horse flesh running down the stretches on Saturday. So we'll hope there's, after they finish the 14 there, there's people still have some coin in their pocket to finish up here. But big, big day on hand Saturday, and knock on wood, weather's going to be fine.
The lineup at Gulfstream, and of course, the return of the 2-year-old male champion, Forte, draws the 4-hole for Pletcher and Ortiz, Rapoli and Viola, the Violence Colt. Blazing Sevens returns in the spot through the 6-hole for Chad Brown and Joel Rosario, Rodeo Creek Racing, the Good Magic Son. So the two favorites, in fact, both by sons of Hill and Dale Stallions. Then from there, you've got some interesting other type players, including Bill Mott bringing back Rocket Can and Shadow Dragon out of the Holy Bull. How about the maiden winner, Mage, the first out winner from Gustavo Delgado, who was a very impressive maiden winner, and who literally, as he was galloping out, the word had spread where I was standing on the stairs, Rick, that the barn loved this horse, Mage, that day. That's another good magic. So you got a nice group. Shug has talked about stretching out General Jim, and he's doing it right here, right now.
Well, the winner, the swale winner.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yes, and I had originally speculated with Shug about, you know, maybe going to the Gotham this week and moving from 7 furlongs to a mile, but he's ready to send him a mile in his 16th, and Shug was very matter of fact and confident about him stretching out. So this is, why not? This is the, I guess, the, it makes sense.
Yeah,
he drew the one, which is no bargain.
No, but. You know, like this is like I said, this is the race that has some beef to it. It's got some stake winners. It's got Blazing Stevens, which is my future bet. I was wondering, starting to wonder if he was ever going to show up here. So let's see what he does here, first time back, and maybe he can get some points here and at least get in the gate. As you know, your any future bettors that are looking at big numbers, just get him in the gate. Give me a chance,
yeah,
right?
It's true.
There now, you know, I always look at the swale. Didn't listen to the swale run on the undercard of the Florida Derby day like years ago. What's that 7/8 race? Yeah, the Hutchison, and then I think the Swale was
the
on
the Hutchison and the
Swale. I think was
that
run
makes,
on
sounds
Florida
right.
Derby day. I mean,
that sounds right.
Way back, you know, when I was
does
there.
Sound right.
Yeah. Look, this is the time
it's
of year.
A good group.
You talk about Mage. Is that how it's pronounced, Mage?
As far as I know.
Let's go with it. Mage, Page, Wage. You know, not many times a year. If it breaks his maiden in May, he's not going to probably jump into a stake. But this is the time. You got a 3-year-old. Let's rock in your backyard. Let's take a shot at the Fountain of Youth.
Well, he was ready. I mean, he crushed that group and earned a serious figure doing it. Dale Romans brings back Cyclone Mischief in this spot. And after the disappointment of the Holy Bull, but of course the Albaugh team, Angel of Empire, already in nice stead coming out of the Risen Star win. So the Albaugh team going to keep the assault going on. And who's the two other horses I should mention? Rowan Crichton's got Legacy Isle with Jaramillo and Il Miracolo for Antonio Sano. Your field of 10 in the Fountain of Youth. The Gulfstream Park Mile, which drew...
Wait, before you go, yeah. you missed Shadow Dragon in there, which...
No, I mentioned Shadow Dragon.
Oh, you did Shadow Dragon. But let's go back to Cyclone Mischief.
Another son of a Hill and Dale Stallion.
So Cyclone Mischief, you know, goes off the favor, 6-5, whatever, last time, coming off that allowance win. It looked like he had bounce written all over him, which, whatever you want to do, he didn't run a good one. But, you know, keep your eye on this sneaky little deal. For him running back, he's going to be, what's he going to be in here, 10-1? At least?
Well, Forte's going to be...
He's going to get money. Blazing Stevens is going to get money.
Forte's
going to get money.
Forte's what, 6-5, 7-5?
Yeah, so you're going to get a
Blazing
decent price
sevens,
on Cyclone
5-2.
Mischief. So, I don't know. I put him in the horizontals as a saver somewhere. Gaffleon stays on. Anyway, just has those ones. I love those beaten. You know me. I like the beaten favorite thing. They run some good race. They throw in one clunker, and everybody throws them out the back door.
That's true. You're right. You're not wrong about that.
He hadn't given up on him. I just found it interesting that he's wheeling him right back. So that leads me to believe there's nothing wrong with the horse. He may have just bounced, and you know, he's right up on the pace, but then just didn't have it. So anyway, I'm going to keep an eye on that one.
The Gulfstream Park Mile drew a group of 9. Charge It back for Pletcher and Mandy Pope. Notably, Simplification, Noble Drama, a lot of the usual suspects endorsed. The Devona Dale, the 3-year-old fillies going the mile, and Rusty Arnold, who I kidded. I watched the race with Rusty, and before the race, he said, "I never win here." So as he's walking down the stairs to the winner's circle, "Rusty, I thought you never win here." Red Carpet Ready comes right back. Eclipse has got Atomically inside. How about Leave No Trace making her return for Phil Serpy and the Wellspring team, and Gaffleon, etc. The McDermida, the mile and 3/8 for
the
boys.
Has Phil Serpy's horse, Leave No Trace, been out yet?
This is her first start of the season.
I want to see her run. I liked her last
year. She's very nice, and I know they're very happy. The McDermida drew 13. The Here Comes the Bride drew a dozen. The Mile Turf event for the fillies, for the 3-year-olds. The Very One. If I don't say the Very One, Marty McGee gets upset. 10 of them in there. And certainly Chad Brown, a major player here with Higher Truth, Virginia Joy, and Milady. Canadian Turf, the mile and a 16th for the boys, drew 10. And the Honey Fox drew 11, the mile for the girls. And ungraded, the newly renamed Palm Beach. Now, the Colonel Liam. I printed the PPs, and I started going through, and I'm like, wait a minute. Colonel Liam, I mean, the ink's not dry on the retirement papers, and they renamed the Palm Beach the Colonel Liam.
That's pretty quick.
They wasted no time. It made me laugh, actually.
Why,
and then, of course, I started to reference Rick, Tim Yakdine, who has one of the horses that's been in his barn all from the time it was 2, that being Practical Move in the San Felipe, and then 4 Baffert transfers.
Yeah, you know, Practical Move could have run 3 weeks ago or whenever the Lewis was, whenever we had that 4-horse deal, he could have run in there, and I think he would have been 6-5, and I think he would have done very well in here, and he's going to be one of the choices in here, and sitting very good. He's I've always liked that horse.
Well,
he's a nice horse.
The rest of the group, in terms of the ones that Yakteen is now watching over, National Treasure in here, drew the two. Had Jazzy, of course, for Zidane. Fort Bragg, one of the SF Starlight Matticat runners. And then Mr. Fisk, Sunnybrook Stables, Frankie Dettori aboard. So a field of 11 with five for Tim Yakteen.
Well, hey, 11 horses. Who'd have thought after running a four-horse Lewis, right, to come out of the woodwork to run in here. So that's what the 50-point races will do, get you some horses.
Well, Ed Mosier brings Chase the Chaos down from the El Camino win, which is, what, a three-week turnaround, I think, right?
Is it that? Oh, because I was up there for that race. Is it already 3 weeks? I guess it is three weeks.
I think it's got to be.
Yes. And, you know, I tell you what, that horse looked good going into it and sure looked good during that race. I mean, why not? Like I said, this 50-point shot, he wins that race, and that race has that Preakness entry thing to it.
Right.
So he's already there.
So get your dirt. Yeah, get your dirt. Question.
Yeah.
Answered. He did run once on the dirt when Deodoro had him, and he got rained off the turf at Canterbury. This is an interesting move because Mosier had also talked about potentially going over to Turfway.
Well, I think he's got Stiletto Boy. He put in the big cap, and when I was up there, that's what he told me. He was pointing there, and I think he just said, let's just put him on the van and, you know, head him south. Who's sneaking up?
Michael W.
Here he is. He looks like he's going dove hunting like I did this morning. Got the waders on and everything else.
It's not like you aren't used to this.
Yeah.
You've had your share of cold weather. Although, how many? You didn't spend too many winters at Aqueduct. You spent them at...
I think one is enough.
And what... We going to see Genius Jimmy out here galloping?
Joggers only today.
Oh, it's a jogger day.
It's a jogger day. They have some...
Well, Michael, why don't you come down here and discuss it with Hammer and explain the jogger day?
They have some rules that I'm just getting used to, and I'm sure Michael's just getting used to. Here, Michael McCarthy sitting, putting on the headset here, where... Literally, I'm just learning as I go here, because it's a lot different than when I was here 5 years ago. After a rainout and after the track is sealed, and you can jump in, Mike, if I'm wrong, they have a 24-hour rule for sure that you can only jog after 24 hours. And they check the track, and they do the hardness, and they do all that, and if they determine that it's better to jog a second day, then that's what they do. And so today's the second day. Yesterday being the first day after the rain to jog only. Today the second day, and then tomorrow the track will be open for normal training.
That's correct. That's what I understand. Yeah, workers tomorrow and gallopers. You know, for people that have horses in this weekend that may have worked on Sunday, your last day to work probably before the inclement weather was Thursday. So if you didn't get a work in before Thursday, you're left scrambling a little bit. We've got a handful of runners here this weekend. One horse runs in the Sandy to handicap a mile and a quarter. He'll need to go ahead and work tomorrow. Haven't decided how far yet, but...
We've got to get something into him, right? I was going to ask, coming up to a regular, you know, a normal race that you have planned and on a Thursday or something is one thing, but when you've got horses in grade one races type of races, it's a little more urgent to get the work, to get stuff done.
Certainly. I mean, everybody's kind of in the same boat here. We're all trying to figure this out together. The track looks to me like it's in very good shape today. You'd like to be able to gallop, but these are the rules. Whether it's PC or not, I'm not sure, but these are the rules, and...
Got to go by my... Like I said, I'm just getting back into trying to find what the rules are, do a little review, and, you know, maybe there's some happy medium to, you know, get back to semi-normal to keep racing going on a basis when it rains. I mean,
I think this is part and parcel for California in general. If this was somewhere like Saratoga, you know, you'd never get to work. No telling how long it would take you to get to the races. But, you know, you're left to your own devices up there, and you feel that track is good enough to work on, you go ahead and work, you know.
Right.
They let you train the horses, which is nice. We're trying to make the best of this situation here, and I think everybody, as far as the horsemen are concerned, they've done their part in full, and then some.
No, I agree, and I'm hoping that it's a work in progress where, like I said, we can kind of take a little bit on this side and this side and find some gray area in the middle where that works out better for everybody. You know, and speaking of that, you've got, you know, there goes Harvard in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, which has turned out to be a pretty darn good race. It kind of came from all over. One of the three Grade 1 winners in the field. You won the Gold Cup last year. How's he doing?
Horse is doing as well as we could ask him to be doing. He got very sick this summer, really sick. So just glad to have him back. Needed a spot to get him started. I thought the Thunder Road was the right spot, a little bit short, and knowing it was a little bit short, but just thought it was a good place to get him started. Obviously, an allowance race for a horse like him would not fill, so you've got to take your spot, pick your spots, and take your shot. So we took a shot in the Thunder Road, had a little bit of a muddled trip from the quarter pole to the wire, a little bit of traffic trouble, but it was good to get him back started. Looks like he's come out of it fine. You know, this is something that he excels at, these added furlong races, so we'll go back and give him a shot and see where he's at.
Now, you want a Wild Connection here that is just a wonderful omen here that we're talking about. You mentioned the horse ran in the Thunder Road.
Mm-hmm.
I told the story last week about going to Tulsa for the to see Bruce Springsteen, running into a guy at the rail I talked about being in the business, and he said, "Oh, do you know Mr. Warren?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, Michael McCarthy's his trainer." He goes, "Yeah." And then I brought up, "Oh, I think he's a member of Augusta." And he goes, "Yeah, that's him." And long story short, Mike, you can tell the story about going to Augusta, but he got me up into the pit. And, of course, one of the songs I got to hear was Thunder Road, who happened to be the reason I named this race after that song, and here you're prepping in it and just mentioned it. I said, you know what? That's not a freaking karma deal.
Yeah,
there never was one.
I think if you show up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you mention the name Warren there, they'll know exactly who they're talking about.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty neat when you called me the other day to tell me that, you know, let's see, maybe there's a silver lining at the end of all this here on Saturday.
That's
afternoon.
What I'm saying.
That'd be pretty neat.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. But, yeah, I know you mentioned it, and you had told me about 3 years ago, and I was just talking to Aaron, your wife, which is the whole thing, which reminded me about the Augusta thing. I was talking to her the day before I left. We were talking about you went to Riviera and, you know, maybe saw Tiger Woods for the last time coming through town, and you know, obviously you're a big golf aficionado, and you did get to go to Augusta, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it was nice to see the big cat last week. Watched him eagle a hole, so that was great. Don't know how many more times we're going to get to see that, but yeah, Mr. Warren is also a member at Augusta, so a special place, Augusta. Nice to go ahead and nice to have been there once or twice, so yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And Genius Jimmy comes back in the San Felipe in a nice
coming out of a mile and an eighth turf race. Spacing was right. It's that time of year. My horses worked very well over the dirt. In his first start, I just think it was something he probably just didn't want to do. One turn, 6.5 furlongs. Stretching out to a mile in the 16th, obviously shortening up for him. But horses trained very well. I'm excited to see what he can do on the dirt. We know he's going to be very effective. I think his turf race, his maiden race last out, was as good as you'll see by any maiden around here on the grass. As I said, if he runs as well as he's been working on the dirt, I think he's going to make some noise. He might be 20-1, but that's fine then.
So you mentioned that this time of year. So So you train a lot of good horses, and you have in the past. And so do you feel like you owe it to yourself and the owners and the horse? Let's take a shot. You know, maybe if he turns out to be, wow, he likes the dirt, you know, later in the year it's like, wow, why didn't we take this shot of going down the Derby Trail? At least give it, you know, you owe it. It's in your own backyard.
I'd say we owe it to the horse first. Like I said, as well as he's been training on the dirt, he's had a couple of works that I thought have been very, very good. I've had multiple jockeys in the morning tell me how well the horse had worked on the dirt. We've had a few others that have worked well on the dirt in the morning and not run well on it in the afternoon. And this may very well be the case here, but from what I've seen, you know, he's earned a right to go ahead and you know, enter the gate with these types of horses. Some of these horses are a little bit behind on points, you know, so it's a fresh start for all of them, really. It'd be nice to see what he does, but I don't think the mile and 16th is going to be a problem. I would imagine he probably will be forwardly placed, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, who'd have thought we'd went from a four-horse Robert Lewis 3 weeks ago to 11-horse San Felipe?
Exactly.
But that's the 5-0, the 50 points.
That is 50 points, and I think obviously some maneuvering with some other horses in here and stuff like
Timing-wise, so, it worked out better.
Yes.
Michael, you got the two allowance fillies, the mare and the filly, Honey Jar for Bo Hirsch and Empire Gal in the ninth. It's interesting, Honey Jar going back to 6.5, and Empire Gal trying the hill and trying turf for the first time.
Yeah, Honey Jar stretched out to a mile last time, might have carved out some quicker fractions than we would have liked, and just got nailed inside the 16th pole, was only beaten a length or a length and a half. I thought that was a very good effort. In this new condition book, there was no flat mile. I thought there was a mile and an eighth, which I thought might be a little bit too far for her, so we'll back her up to 6.5. I would think she'd give the same kind of performance she's given the last three or four starts. I would like for her to go a little bit better, though, because she's been a bridesmaid multiple times, so we'll see if we can get the job done here. Empire Gal was a filly we thought a lot of year before last when she broke her maiden in November. I believe she beat Adair Manor that day. Just had a series of health issues that kept her from really being at her best, so we stopped on her, gave her plenty of time, and she's come back and trained well here. Supposed to run on the dirt the other day, and things just timing-wise didn't work out for us, so we'll give this hill race a shot here and see what happens, but she's a filly we're glad to have back, and hopefully she kind of picks up where she left off. She had one race where she just wasn't, her last race was not very good at all, but we decided to stop on her after that, so we'll see how we're at here this weekend.
Speaking of the hill, it's been back for a couple of years, and I know you're a big fan of the hill. Is there any type of horse, we've talked about this over the years, that you like can zero in on it, that's going to say this horse is going to like the hill, you know, be it whether it's a distance horse that you're shortening up or a dirt horse that may like to take to it?
That race in itself is unique, obviously, with the right-hand turn and the downhill and uphill undulations. I think it almost plays more like a mile where horses are running away from the gate, getting position up the hill, and then, you know, the strategy from basically crossing the dirt to the quarter pole here, your position, crossing the dirt, who you're following, what have you. So it's a very unique race. I think horses that have speed, obviously, or sometimes runoff types seem to run off well down the hill. It takes all sorts. I think the hill was meant for very good horses, you know, allowance horses, and that's what we're utilizing the hill for now. We get to a stage where I think we were utilizing it for some lower-level claiming races, and it's a demanding race. So I think, you know, the way it's been utilized now and seeing some of these nicer horses run down it, the very competitive races, you know, I try to find something to every time there's a hill race in the book, you try to find something for it. But, you know, I think there's – it just – some horses are just suited to it, you know, whether it be the downhill, whether it be the nice quiet walk up the hill before they get there, horses relax and what have you. There's just a lot about the race to like.
Yeah, it's,
I think it's what makes part of California racing unique is to have a race like this.
It's always always funny when you're, if you watch a race from the crowd, you'll always hear someone go, where do they start? You know, they're talking to their friend, and you go, see that mountain over there, right? See that up there?
Exactly.
And you'd see them, you know, with the background is, you know, it's a hill. I mean, it's a hill with trees and greenery up there. It's very cool. And like you said, I've always found, handicapping wise, those ones that have gone long and are shortening up, quote, but it does run long, and it's a good prep for just about anything.
It is a very good prep for just about anything. Yeah, you know, I think for me, I think it's an easier race if you do have tactical speed, controlling speed, what have you, whatever you'd like to call it. But yeah, it's you can use it as a springboard to a mile and an eighth.
Right.
Mile, obviously, what have you. Certainly a race I'm partial to.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I was going to ask you about some certain riders that do like it and certain riders that don't. But is there a riding style that you prefer if you need to pick a rider to get on a horse that's going down the hill?
You know, I think the guys that are obviously more tactical, the Flavian Pratts, John Velasquez, is Frankie Dettori, you know, pace and timing or
right.
Anything over there in Europe, undulations and what have you. Those guys are more a little bit more seasoned than some of the younger riders. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that ride the hill well. Plenty of capable riders out here. If you have the horse, there's, you know, the first 10 guys are going to go ahead. 15 guys are going to get the job done for you.
Yeah, you mentioned, we should get like do a little go-kart film down that hill because it's, you do make a right turn, and then there's a straighten out, and I think Eddie D was showing us one day how he takes to the outside so they can go straight when they get to a turn, and then there's a lot of
exactly
a lot of little technical things that these jocks do, so they're in preparation when they make that final turn. They're not, you know, they have some momentum going forward, and they're not checking.
Yeah, I think around the 3-furlong pole here, a lot of these guys like to go ahead and set themselves up, you know, lane-wise, where they're going to be on the fence, off the fence, tracking the speed, what have you, you know, watching out for a slowing horse and that sort of thing. So, like I said, it's a tactical race. It's a great race to watch, and it's a great race to wager on, too.
It is. And we all out here, just constant talk about the Breeders' Cup out here, hoping and wishing that the sprint would be down the hill, you know, use the local flavor, and currently they've determined it's going to be the 5/8.
Yeah, that's
on the flat.
I don't have much comment there. I think 5/8 and 5.5 races on the turf are to me, they're, I don't want to say irrelevant, but I'm not a real big fan of them. I don't think there's a whole lot of strategy. I think if you're drawn 1 through 5, you have a huge advantage over horses that are drawn 6 through 12 or what have you. You know, a horse breaks a little bit slow, he gets swallowed up easily. Yep. To me, it's not a race. I don't like, you know, it's hard to get excited over a race 5/8 on the turf for me. Look, if I had a horse, good horse that was prone to 5/8 on the grass, yeah, I'd be all for it. But I just think from a fan perspective, I'd rather see them run down the hill.
Yeah.
I think that's a really, I mean, we've had some great renditions of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint down the hill, you know.
Rich McLeory will join us next. And, of course, Mig won on Desert Code. That was his big Breeders' Cup win. You mentioned Johnny. Actually, two things I wanted to bring up, Michael. Clearly unhinged off the maiden win, and what's next. And then it's got to be fun to have Johnny to ride for on a semi-regular basis again, being hooked back up with him.
Yeah, very much so. We have a lot of history together. You know, I think Johnny is one of the best, if not the best, to do it. So, as a person, he's a fantastic guy, wonderful guy, does a lot for our sport behind the scenes. So to be able to have a guy out here like him and, you know, get his input in the mornings and then in the afternoon, it's been very special. We feel a lot of confidence when we walk into the paddock and we see him wearing our silks. We're, you know, it's been nice to have him here. I'll be sad to see him go, that's for sure.
Well, you've known him for 25 years.
Yeah, we have a 20-something year relationship during my first year working for Todd Pletcher in 2002. So, you know, he's given him a lot of legs up in the afternoon and taking a lot of feedback off of him in the morning. So, you know, he's one of the reasons why I have a roof over my head.
You know, he's just the ultimate cool customer.
Yeah,
nothing. He doesn't get rattled at all.
And he brings a lot to that room too. Brings a lot of competitive fire and leadership and things like that. So it's great to have him out here in California.
Well, he's been one of the leaders of the Jockeys Guild colony everywhere he goes.
Correct.
So he's looked up to by all the riders here. He's just a kind of a fun guy to be around. I don't know him that well, but he kind of lights up a room type of guy.
Yeah. Fantastic guy.
Clearly unhinged.
Was very good winning here the other day. Spacing wise, it looks like something like the San Anita Oaks might make sense. Ooh. The San Isabel was postponed a weekend, you know, but we gave this filly a little bit extra time after she broke her maiden. We thought she ran very fast. It was very professional in the way she did it. So just thought that maybe giving her just a short little break here of a couple of weeks before we put her back on the work tab would work to her advantage. You know, going from 6.5 to a mile and a 16th is a little bit of an ask, but the way she did it the other day, you'd have to think, you know, it's within her wheelhouse. And again, it's that time of year, and maybe, you know, she jumps up and runs well here, and you kind of start thinking about the first Friday in May. And if not, you back up. You know, you've got plenty of options around one turn, and buy into Mischief. There's no telling what she could do.
Got to ask you about Manhattan Jungle. And speaking of riders, talk about the experience of putting Frankie Dettori on horses and coming out of the Sweet Life win. And what's up with this one next?
All of our options are open. You know, I thought her second place finish going a mile here opening week was very good. Her race down the hill here was fantastic. I thought Frankie fit her like a glove. I was kind of a little bit concerned because she broke well, and then going down the hill, she looked like she was about 2 to 3 off the lead, and then coming out from behind the matrix board, because, as you know, it's hard for us to see from the grandstand here, she was about 5 or 6 off of the lead, so wasn't sure exactly what happened, but she showed a tremendous kick here through the lane and what have you, so a very nice filly that just shows up and plays hard every time, and she knows when it's game day. So we'll keep all of our options open for her.
You know, I'm really getting fascinated here by this Tulsa thing connection. When I got my tickets to see Springsteen, I run into a guy up here that also had tickets to the same show. So I told Jimmy Ventura, I said, you know, we're kidding around. I said, the next horse with the name Tulsa in it, we got a bet.
Yeah, so, Tulsa Tornado, yeah.
So Tulsa Tornado comes down the thing, and boom, pays $20. I get a text immediately from Jimmy, and I said, of course I bet. We had to bet. I mean, I'm just sitting here, I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. See what happens when you do a little traveling, you get the connection here. It just hit me. I go, wait a minute, we got another Tulsa thing here.
That was, speaking of John Velasquez, that was unbelievable, because the other horse put a neck on him, and Johnny came back and nailed him right at the wire, got his nose down right at the wire. So yeah, and that was a house horse too, which made it nice.
And I just say, here's my text. It was gonna text you. I had to bet. Can't make it up. He sent me the text. Can't make it up. It's just incredible. So,
Michael, appreciate this very much. Great to catch up and good to see you. And good luck this weekend. Probably have to talk to you Monday.
That'd be nice. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Can't make this stuff up sometimes. But Michael McCarthy, who worked for Todd for a number of years, Todd Pletcher, and then decided to come here on his own, and it's got to be seven, eight, nine years ago, and that he got here, and we got him going, and he's a stalwart out here now, and you know, winning any kind of race, anytime you see him in a race, he's live.
Well, and of course, exercise rider and top horseman. Zone, you know, right, and there was always a certainty that at some point he would go out on his own and then come back here, which was a big part of the decision making process.
Right. Well, you know, family's here, and this is home.
Exactly. Well, that was fun and impromptu and perfect.
The best way.
Exactly. It's what we love. Mentioned Rich Migliori. Look at the sun now hitting the mountains. Now I got to take a picture of that, and because the
we'll see a whole lot of sun myself.
Well, there's sun. There's got to be some sun, right? Oh, I know what it is. Here, hold on. This thing is there you go. That's been sliding. So I think there was a little screw that fell out of there.
That was my head that fell out of.
I got a very funny little video of the joggers. They're a concentration of horses. You never see them that close together, and they were all just grouped and jogging lightly.
Well, I think they just finished doing a little renovation, so maybe they were all coming out together. I don't know.
No, they were already making the sweep.
Making the European lineup.
Yes.
Maybe?
Yeah. Because the jogging is going in the opposite direction.
Yes, it is. So it's
that's
everything's in slow motion out here.
Yes, it really is.
Tomorrow it'll be back to normal. The Chinese fire drill, horses all over the place.
Yeah. Well, this was funny. I'll put that up. People will get a kick out of it. I think seeing that many horses so close together, just sort of kind of prancing. It is different. It's seeing them go counterclockwise is funny.
Well, seeing them all go that way.
Yeah, exactly. There's usually some on the outside
going
fence,
back and forth.
But everybody's going clockwise, counterclockwise.
Yeah. You know, being out here, this is the longest I've been out here since I've been back. You forget how just relaxing and beautiful
great.
And. Like I said, who Lucky Baldwin, whoever decided to say, hey, let's put a racetrack right here and face it towards the mountains. God bless you. It's magnificent. There is not a prettier track in the country.
Well, you made me laugh. In fact, we have to get Gary Young this week.
I can guarantee you he's not here today. He'd be here with
a calendar,
not a stopwatch.
Yeah, exactly. But whenever he references Lucky Baldwin, it's always the same line. He says, that wasn't what Lucky Baldwin had in mind when he opened the place. Always makes me laugh. Jack Carava over there. Say good morning to Jack. And
he's a regular
now. I mean, now as an agent, we had a wonderful in December, had that terrific conversation with him and Mark Glatt, because they're typically the first two out here.
Yeah, in fact, I was kidding Mark that I walked in this morning. You're a little late, aren't you? I turned around. He's like, he had that look like it can't be. I know who that is, but it can't be. What are you doing here? Look, but
one thing about here that I said hello to Rosie. First thing she said to me, no croissant sandwich for you. I said, why not? She said, no more croissants. She said, we're not doing croissants.
Supply chain thing, I guess.
Rosie wants to encourage everybody now, once this chilly weather, I guess, abates, come on out to Clocker's Corner for breakfast. You'll have a tremendous time. Can't be beat. I'm troubled by no croissant, but...
I really think that this should be a restaurant. I mean, a public restaurant. They got the lot over here. You close it until 10 o'clock and just have people come in off the street. Not off the street, but you know what I mean. Anybody just say, where do you want to go to breakfast? Rod's down the street, a stalwart for years, has shut down.
Wow.
It's right down here on... Huntington, right down the street. Rod's Media. Rod's for breakfast.
There's a Rod's in Rod. R-O-D?
R-O-D-S. Right down the street is down. So I mean, that's a perfect layup right down here. Let's go. Where do you want to go? Let's go to Clocker's Corner. Just have people eat. Come and have their business meetings, get their coffee and eggs, and watch the horses go by.
It'd be tremendous.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it would. It would. You got that? Was it the Le Roi? Right, the King, the Lion. You sent me two once. I had never been.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it.
Roy.
Something like that.
Meaning Roy as in lion, R-O-I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Pasadena.
No, in toward Monrovia.
That wasn't
toward Arcadia.
Wrong guy.
No? You didn't send me there?
No.
It was a breakfast joint. They pack them in.
Rod's is the only place that I would ever send anybody to breakfast right down the street.
Right.
Seriously, wasn't me.
Well, now I can't go there. Cause
that's right.
It's not gone. It's not.
I was just reading the other day about it.
That's the worst. All right. Rich Migliore is going to join us next. And
now we'll tell you know what? We'll during a conversation, we'll talk to Rich about the Hill.
Yeah.
Now, he is one of the few guys.
Came from out of town. And
that came from out of town.
Conquered the Hill.
And not just conquered, but kind of right off the bat, he got it right. He just got it, and he won a lot of races coming down the hill. And he can tell you, you know, how he approached it, and you know the way they kind of, like Michael was saying, the maneuvering before you get to certain turns on that hill, where to be and where not to be. So that'll be interesting to see what Migs says.
The great, the one and only Uncle Neil. Neil Drysdale.
He popped one the other day.
He's terrific. He's unbelievable. A legend. The legends are on foot around here, wandering around.
Yes, they are.
Let's take this first hour break. Fun conversation with Michael W. McCarthy. Mig is next. We're coming to you live from Santa Anita. It's Big Cap Week, and we've got some weekend recapping yet to do, but it's hard not